want to speak to you from the subject of lethal weapon. Lethal weapon. As you see in Jeremiah, God is telling Jeremiah, you my battle axe. I'm going to use you to do all this stuff. You are my weapon. You are a weapon for God. But we're going to not just talk about Jeremiah. I just wanted to just give you a heads up of why I chose this title, because I know if you hear 37:5 and it says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. It wouldn't make as much sense. I just need you to know what the title is. And as we walk through this hermeneutic, you will begin to, all the things will come together. Joseph was one of the heroes of the patriarchal narratives in the book of Genesis. He was Jacob's 11th son. He was sold into slavery as a young boy by his brothers, who were jealous of his dream and envious of the favor their father showed him. You do know some people don't like you just because you got favor. You know, some people complain because they say, all I talk about is my haters, but as long as you come, I'm going to preach what I say. I'm going to preach, but I ain't talking about it. I'm just saying. It says, favor made evident by the coat of many colors Jacob had given him, a coat they saw every day. They saw this coat every day that they didn't have. Every day you go to your job, somebody see your gifts that they don't have. Every time you walk into the house, every time you go somewhere, they looking at your coat of many colors, so to speak, your favor. Like Daniel, Joseph had a gift that took him to the heights of power. And like Daniel, that gift was the ability to interpret dreams. It took Joseph a while to understand it, though. At first, he thought receiving dreams was the extent of the gift, but the full manifestation included the ability to interpret the dreams for others. Having the dreams with meaning for his own life benefited him. Being able to interpret the dreams of others benefited someone else. Your gift, that special ability and calling you received from God, was given to you for the purpose of blessing the people around you. It's a kingdom gift. It was given to you and through you for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Joseph had the ability to interpret dreams, but he received favor before he received the dreams. Joseph's father doted on him more than he did all the other sons. The dreams came after he received the coat of many colors. The coat was like a symbol of the bestowing of his gift, like Elijah receiving Elijah's mantle as a symbol of the anointing he received at Elijah's death. Joseph didn't realize it, but at that very moment, he became a powerful tool. He became a weapon in God's hands. When Joseph added obedience to that gift, he became a formidable force. That anointing, that favor he received, gave him the potential to achieve great success. It also sent a signal that attracted the enemy. Oh, y'all don't hear me. The anointing you receive will grant you favor from God. It will also draw an attack from the enemy. That's because the anointing makes you a powerful weapon in the kingdom of God. The more you move toward God, the more you attract the opposition of Satan. And once you receive favor from God, the enemy redoubles his attack. Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. Joseph was not attacked by strangers, but by his own family. Oh, let that marinate on you. I'm just preaching the Bible. There is no greater pain than the pain of being hurt by your own family, a family that can't see your gift and do not like your dream. They don't realize you are called out, separated, and different than anyone else. Oh, many anointings have been diluted in churches because people in the church become too familiar with the pastor and they don't respect the gift. Oh, they don't realize it, but even if they do, they don't like it. Joseph's own family attacked him and threw him in a pit. From that pit, Joseph was elevated into slavery. It's tough to think of slavery as a step up. But for Joseph, it was much better than the alternative. Sometimes elevation leads you into isolation. When he was pulled out of the pit, I'm sure he thought he was being rescued. I'm sure he thought he was going to be sent back home to daddy. But they took him to a foreign land as a slave. While a slave, Joseph's circumstances took a turn for the worse. He found himself falsely accused of rape and put into jail. After being in jail a while, Joseph had two cellmates. They were from Pharaoh's court, the baker and the cupbearer. The Bible doesn't tell us what they did wrong to be put in jail. We do not even know their names, but they are identified by their gifts. One a baker, the other a cupbearer. People will know you by your gift too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't need to know your name. Your gift will make room for you. If I thought about it, I know I can't think of the name, but I like that song, but I don't know who sang it, because the gift draws you to the person. God could have put a thief or a murderer in the cell with Joseph. Instead, he arranged for a baker and a cupbearer. Joseph had a gift, for that gift to take him where God wanted him to go. Joseph had to connect with someone else's gift. That someone was Pharaoh's cupbearer. Joseph is remembered for his dreams and his ability to interpret the dreams of others, but his gift concerning dreams would have gone no further than his own amusement had he not been connected to the cupbearer's gift. Through the cupbearer's gift, Joseph was connected to the people of influence. Time spent with the cupbearer opened doors of opportunity for Joseph. Those doors took Joseph to great success. The cupbearer was as much a part of what God did through Joseph as Joseph himself. No one extols the virtues of the cupbearer, but we could not make a very good point by telling this story from his perspective. As I said, the cupbearer's name is not mentioned in Genesis' account. Still, the story would not have worked out the way it did had he not used his gift and allowed that gift to take him to his destiny. Having done that, he didn't get his name on the wall. He didn't get a trophy, but because he brought Joseph to the king to interpret the dream, I'm sure he received much favor from Pharaoh. See, that's why you got to understand, if you a hater, stop being one. Because if you learn how to connect people to other people, you will have favor even if you're not as gifted as that person. I'm sure Pharaoh said, I'm glad I didn't put you to death, Mr. Cupbearer, like I did the baker. I'm so glad I brought you back into the house. Sometimes you got to learn how to bless other people, and then you will be a part of the winning story. Oh, what I'm saying in essence is that God orchestrates people in a variety of circumstances to get you to a place where your gift can accelerate. That makes you a very valuable and powerful weapon in his arsenal. It also makes you a really big target for the enemy. Regardless of whether you are the king or the cupbearer. Let me just tell you the story a little bit. I know some of y'all don't really know the story. But let me just talk about the baker part. So Joseph was in jail and on death row. And because he had been lied on by the wife of Pharaoh. And you know, she said that he tried to get her milk and cookies. But really, in essence, he was running from the milk and cookies. And she got upset and she lied on him. So he goes to jail and he interprets a dream and told the baker his dream meant he was going to die, and told the cupbearer it meant he was going to be reestablished to where he was. And he said, all you need to do is remember me and promise to remember me. Don't need to pay me anything when you go to Pharaoh's house. Well, years went by and the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. So then one day when Pharaoh had a dream, he said, I know a man who can interpret that dream. He was in jail with me. I promise you he'll be all right. Now, first of all, the cupbearer is taking a great risk. Because if you telling the king that he going to have his dream answered and he go down there and pull out somebody from the jail, if this man's gift doesn't work, come on, somebody. And so he remembered Joseph, and he brought Joseph in. Now, what if Joseph had an attitude and say, you forgot about me. You left me here all these years. See, you got to learn how to shut your mouth. I hear people say, and she ain't helped you before. And who cares they didn't help you before? They're helping you right now. And right now is the best time, because nothing happens out of God's time. If he would have took Joseph to the king in the beginning, Joseph may not have had instant favor. But because he brought him in a time of crisis, he had favor instantaneously. Stop trying to orchestrate your own timeline. Stop trying to make your gifts the way you want it, when you want them to prosper. Stop trying to do it. God does not care about time. We deal with linear time and space. God is interstellar. God sees past, present, and future all at the same time. He doesn't deal with linear time. He deals with Kairos time. He doesn't deal with chronological time. He deals with Kairos time. Chronological time is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But Kairos time is, you know what? I need to put you here right at J. This the time I want to anoint you. And some people get mad at other people because you're getting mad because they're walking in their season right now. Everybody can't have summer at the same time. Everybody can't have winter at the same time. It's cold over here, but it's warm somewhere else. Come on, somebody. Everybody is not in the same season. But anyway, Joseph was destined for greatness. God had given him a gift that would take him there. He had anointed him with favor that would open doors for him. Still, Joseph had to make the connection to the destiny. In our human space-time continuum, here in this life as God has created it, life as we know it, that connection usually requires a human-to-human relationship. Joseph had to connect with the person whose gift could match up everything. Real events had to transpire in real time. That connection came for Joseph, but it didn't take a route that human thought would make sense. You know what I'm saying? In our mind, we expect things to happen in a linear manner. Joseph's favor, gift, introduction, success. That's how it works in our mind. Not usually, though. There are other dynamics involved, other people and the opposition that all work together to produce a much different route for Joseph to follow his gift to his destiny. Joseph, armed with a gift, blessed with the favor, connected to his station, would be a powerful warrior in the hands of God. The enemy couldn't let that happen. You thought it was going to be easy to get to your gift, didn't you? I'm going to preach a sermon next year called There Still Remains a Rest for the People of God, because there's a rest that happens when you walk into your destiny, but you got to fight to get into your destiny. And until you get into that place of rest, come on, somebody, it's going to still feel like work, but you're going to have to get there. Anyway, the really wonderful thing is that the enemy can't stop it from happening. All those twists and turns, the pit into which his brothers threw him, Potiphar's wife's false accusation, prison, were obstacles thrown up by Satan to prevent his success. God took every one of those obstacles and used them to reveal, clarify, hone, and perfect the gift in Joseph. What others thought would destroy Joseph, God used to make him the man he wanted him to be all along. For most people, prison is not the last step before dinner with the king. See, prison is the last stop before the graveyard. In American culture today, prison is a mark of a person's life that squelches opportunity. For Joseph, prison was the key to fulfillment of his destiny. If you're stuck someplace and that looks like one of those career-ending holes, take heart. God is not limited by the limitations that people create for one another. Regardless of what you face right now, you are still a mighty weapon in God's hands. Brokenness is not a bad thing in the kingdom of God. Brokenness means your personality is no longer an obstacle to God's complete use of you. Your weakness is your greatest strength, because your weakness opens you up to the grace of God. Through that grace, his power can be made evident in your life. That power is the warrior's power you need to win your battles ahead. Before Joseph went to prison, he thought his gift was receiving dreams. It took prison for him to find out his gift was much bigger. His real gift was interpreting dreams. See, he didn't know what his real gift was until he was stuck in a place from which he could not extract himself. Satan had him in jail thinking Joseph was out the way and no longer a threat. Little did he know that was the very place God wanted him to be. See, say, God will put you someplace that Satan wants you to be, but he wants you there too. If Joseph never would have went to jail, got away from his brothers, and got in a cell by himself in isolation, he would have kept talking about his own dreams, kept talking about what he was doing in his life, kept talking about where he was going. But now that he was in isolation and God had taken him down low, when other people came to him with their dreams, he was able to interpret it. Sometimes God puts you in low places so you can discover who you are. It's not at the point of good life, Dr. King said, that you will really understand a man or woman's character. It's times of tribulation and challenges when the real you steps up. Until you go through hell, until you go through ostracism, until you go through a scandal, until people gossip about you, until people start talking about you, you will never be elevated. So if you don't understand when I talk about haters, it's because you ain't been elevated yet, baby. Because if you show me somebody who has been somewhere in life, if you show me somebody who's been blessed, I'll show you somebody that has been through some pain, somebody that has been through some upset situation, somebody that's been talked about, somebody that's been backstabbed. Until you learn that you gotta go through hell before you elevate it, you will never understand what I'm talking about. Hater? Yeah. Ooh. This morning, I'm believing God is going to unveil to you what your real gift is, what you were really created to do. He's going to reveal to you what you've been born to accomplish. You have favor on your life and a dream that has not yet come to pass. Understand that in order to cause your path to cross with your connection to the place God has ordained for you, you have to endure something as harsh as Joseph endured. Your gift makes you a weapon for God, but you are his weapon. Oh, yeah, I missed that. See, if you ever get a black belt in karate or some type of martial arts, or you got to register your hands because you a weapon. And remember that time, well, I don't really listen to him that much no more, so I'm going to walk out there. Remember that time T.I. was talking all that junk because he just swear he pumped Mayweather? Remember that? Mayweather got bodyguards not because Mayweather can't put you down, because if Mayweather hits you and his life ain't in danger, he going to jail. Come on, somebody. Because he pretty much has to register his hands, so he has to register his body, because now you a boxer, you're a professional. You can't just because somebody talking junk to you, you can't punch them because you know you're going to win. Oh, yeah, y'all know. Can I talk to somebody? See, people wonder why when people talk about me in public and go all out on me, and they wonder why I just be quiet sometime, because I can't say nothing to you unless God tells me to, because I'm registered in the spirit. Come on, somebody. Y'all better help me, somebody, because every now and then I let you keep on talking. I already know I could destroy you because I already got everything down and what you did. But sometimes in the church meeting, I just be quiet and give somebody else the microphone because God say, look here, you need to sit down because the greatest among you got to be the servant. And if they keep talking, just shut your mouth and I'll handle it in the background. You got to understand, oh, I'm trying to talk to you. Stop clapping back every time. You a spiritual being. God will handle your battles. Every now and then he might take it to say something, but he ain't gonna take it to say something every day. Every moment, every tweet. He knows best how to use you and where to apply your gift. Yield to him and let him set you up in a place from which your gift can be used by him to project his power. Your gift is not for your benefit alone. It is a kingdom gift. It was given to you by the King of Kings to benefit his kingdom. He gets the final word on where and how the gift is employed. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In order for you to be fully operational in your gift, a weapon that he can use, God has to sharpen you. He has to put an edge on you. To do that, God will move you into relationship with people who can refine and hone that gift. Those relationships may not be easy. Friendly ones you desire. this is what I got a challenge with church people, and that's why you got to have deacons and trustees. You know, trustees ain't got to be the nicest people. They got to handle business. Deacons, y'all got to be friendly because y'all ministry. But see, some people would try to give business to somebody just because they say, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. But to be honest with you, I don't really care if you know Jesus or not when you connect to me in business. If you're not, I might try to witness to you and get you saved. But I don't care how much Jesus you know, if you can't fix this hole in the wall, hallelujah ain't helping me. I know we sang that old school song, hallelujah anyhow. But I can't use you if you don't know the business. You understand what I'm saying? And some people miss that destiny because you're trying to get around people that make you feel warm and fuzzy all the time. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. Yeah, and let me go on and walk on somewhere because some of y'all blessed and highly favored. Rubbing shoulders with people who are excited about being successful in the Lord puts you in contact with people who can open doors for you. It also puts you in contact with the people the enemy is bent on destroying. See, you cannot fight his fight alone. You need to surround yourself with a small group of people who are not threatened by your destiny or jealous of the success that opens before you. Have you ever wanted to tell somebody what good happened in your life and you want to call, no, she ain't going to be happy. And sometimes it's easy to find somebody to tell bad news because everybody want to hear bad news because misery loves company and they just happy that they doing better than somebody else. But every now and then when God begins to elevate you, sometimes you don't even know who to tell. Sometimes you don't want anyone to tell nobody because you're like, I don't really know if they're going to be happy for me. You got to find somebody that's in the same situation you are. They don't have to be a preacher if you a preacher. They don't have to be a doctor if you a doctor. That's the problem with everybody. You got to learn how to cross-pollinate and get around some people that have different thought patterns than you. I don't hang around preachers all the time because the preachers say the same thing I say. You got a church, I got a church. You got missionaries, I got missionaries. I need to be around somebody that can help sharpen me and take me to another level in my life. Stop trying to find people that think like you all the time. Find somebody that thinks differently than you, but they going somewhere. Some of y'all still broke because all you do is hang around all the broke Christians you know. Jesus, help me. Let me get out of here. I mean, every warrior called of God reaches a point in life where circumstances conspired to make him or her feel insignificant and devoid of value. This is a painful process, but at that lowest point, God is able to strip pride, self-esteem, and love for oneself. That stripping away is much like boot camp. You are a weapon for God, and God wants to train you and equip you. He wants you to succeed more than you do with you. He can break down strongholds and defeat empires with you. He can conquer lands and liberate the oppressed. You have to let him teach you how to be a warrior. All God needs to accomplish his will, all he needs to obtain victory is you. You are his battle axe. You are his registered weapon of God. In you resides the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that created the universe, the power that parted the Red Sea, the power that resurrected Jesus. If you got that same power that took Jesus from the grave, oh, come on, somebody. If Jesus died on the cross and got up on the third day, why in the world are you worried about can you pay your bills tomorrow? Greater is he
who is in you than he who is in the world. If Jesus raised from the dead, why are you worried about racism? God can elevate you above. Oh, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. If he said you above and not beneath, the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, why you keep crying when something goes wrong in your life? Through you, God will shift kingdoms and bless third world nations. God has chosen you to destroy demonic kingdoms. Don't yield to the attacks of Satan. Don't yield to your haters and naysayers. Had Joseph yielded to the attacks of the enemy, ignored God, and allowed himself to become bitter and resentful over the events that transpired earlier in his life, he would never have reached that meeting with Pharaoh. He would have never been put in a position to interpret Pharaoh's dream. He never would have saved Egypt from famine. I'm about done, but let me tell you something about this story that you may not know. Anytime Joseph came from prison, he went there twice. When he came back, he ain't gonna try to clear his name. Some people say, well, when some people begin to start finding out the truth, they be like, Maxwell, why you didn't go back and clear your name? I already knew my name was clear. In fact, half the folk fussing knew it too. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to go back and try to rewrite the narrative. God allowed that stuff to happen. Oh, come on, somebody. You ever seen a movie when somebody is blackmailed? And you know, sometimes it irritates you because you know they're innocent and they're going through this whole movie. 9 times out of 10, they don't ever see them go to court and clear their name. We just know everything all right. You feel what I'm saying? Stop trying to go back and tell people what you didn't do, especially after God has already elevated you and took you to the next level. Why would I go up here and be in my corner office and have to go back to somebody still in the cubicle and tell them what really happened? I don't really care what happened. What you got to understand is this. Have you ever been going somewhere, driving to New York or somewhere, and every now and then you got to stop and pay your toll? Isn't it a shame that everybody's going somewhere but the toll booth collector? I'm sure that's the worst job you could ever have. Everybody going somewhere but you. Some people around you know you going somewhere and the only thing they are is a toll booth collector. If you can pay your, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. If you can take your little haterade, if you can take your little backstabbing, eventually God will elevate you. Let me just close right here. God isn't just interested in transforming you, your family, or your neighborhood. He's interested in changing and transforming the world. You are the warrior in that cause. In his hands, you can be the weapon he uses to bring to pass his vision for all humanity. In his hands, you can be the instrument that leads us all to the victory and destiny God has ordained. You are a weapon for God. Greater is he who was in you than he who was in the world. You believe that scripture? Than he was in the world. It ain't just talking about your neighbor. Anything. He's greater than anything. Remember, his name is above anything you can name. Whatever you can name, he's above it. He's above Maxwell. He's above Ricks. He's above Brother Ozzy. He's above everybody. But he's also above cancer. He's above disease. He's above stroke. He's above lying. He's above everything. And you can elevate over anything that comes in contact with you because you are the weapon of God. He told Jeremiah, I'm going to kill people with you. I'm going to destroy nations with you. You are my battle axe. God is telling you right now today, you are his weapon. See, can I talk to my seasoned saints? If you still here, God ain't finished with you. I see, some of y'all come in here and act like you just come in here to retire and sit. No. Where there's no vision, that people perish. Which means if God was finished with you, you would have been dead long ago. But you still here, so there's still a purpose that you have not fulfilled. You see what I'm saying? And maybe some of y'all know that, and that's why you ain't fulfilled your purpose, because I'm going to be here for a long time. I'm going to wait to my 85th birthday.
Then I'm going to do what the Lord told me. I sure is. You know what I'm saying? Because King, he did a lot of stuff when he was young, died early. A lot of people die early. But the thing about it is once God, you have fulfilled your vision, God's purpose, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. God still allows us to stay here. We stay here as long as God has a vision for us. It don't matter how young or how old you are. If you're 90 years old and you on a walker, it doesn't matter. God has something you need to accomplish. Even if, see, this is the whole problem. I'm going to sit down. I think I'm a priest. I got all these sermons in my mind. But I'm going to get through with this one. I just got to say this right quick before we go. Because I'm pretty much finished. Now I'm just talking about something. I forgot. I really did forget. It was something God was telling me. Oh, yeah, yeah. God, see, if you still here, God has a vision. And see, what happens is when sometimes old school people, you all still want to be in the battle. And I'm going to preach on this, I think. Remember when David was in the battle? He was God's weapon. He really was God's weapon. He was out there fighting and everything. And one time he was fighting and got thirsty. Somebody, hey, man, can somebody bring me some water? For real. This is a true story. When he fighting, they went and got some water and gave him water. Hey, look, man, Brother David, don't come fight no more. You tired. You old. We need your wisdom. We need to glean from you. And see, this is the whole thing. I got to talk to my seasoned saints right now because I feel like the Spirit is telling me this. See, you think, sometimes you think because you can't go out and fight, you can't go out and walk around and miss. Some of y'all be walking around all the time knowing you need to sit down. You don't need to be walking around all the time trying to do security, walking around. And you don't need to be trying to unload stuff all the time. What you need to do is find a young person and get them some wisdom. Because a lot of times we have the tools, we have the energy, we have the strength to get it done, but you got the know-how. You have the wisdom. And you got to learn how to change positions and understand that you're still a weapon for God, but you don't have to necessarily fight. Joseph didn't fight nobody. Joseph ran from a woman. She's trying to get me. Joseph didn't fight nobody. But he's still a weapon for God. And sometimes you need to stop thinking that fighting for the kingdom is always this physical stuff. It's a spiritual battle. But one thing Joseph knew is how to fight spiritually. I'm going to say this and I'm going to sit down. What Joseph really learned how to do in jail was shut up and stop talking about himself. Oh, y'all don't hear me. What got him in jail was him telling his brothers all the stuff God was going to do. When he shut up and started helping other people, God elevated him. Until you get to a point where you understand that the reason why you're blessed is because of God, and you give him all the glory. No matter what you go through, it's always going to be for your benefit. Because the Bible says all things happen for the good of those who are called according to what? His purpose. So as long as you continue to try to walk toward your purpose, even if you're thrown in jail, it's for your benefit. Is there anyone out here right now who understands what I'm saying and you want to be a mighty weapon for God? You want God to use you mightily. And you don't know Jesus Christ, you may come. In fact, even if you know Jesus Christ and you're saying, you know what, right now, I just want to come down and just show God publicly that I want to be used mightily by him. I need your giftings. I need your power. I need your grace. Is there anyone that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there anyone that needs prayer? Or maybe you out there and you need a church home. Is there anyone who needs a church home?